Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And for this hour, your connection to the world of writing and peer writing tutoring. We're brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, also known as the UCWBL, my favorite acronym in the world. you can check us out at depaul.edu/writing. I'm your host, Ryan McQueenie. I'm joined with my co-host, Mariah Wolfel.
Hello again. We're back.
We are joined in the studio with James Neeson. He's a member of our outreach team.
Hello.
and we would like to now welcome Avery Cunningham, another member of our outreach team.
Hi, so glad to be on.
How are you doing today, Avery?
Great, thank you.
Good, good. So real quick, I want to jump back to Word of the Day, everyone's favorite segment on Skrull Radio. I'm going to drop my first hint for Word of the Day.
Okay. Can we refresh our listeners on what the
Absolutely.
Word is?
Awesome. Just because I like saying it. the word of the day is an adjective. It is largiloquent.
Largiloquent.
Largiloquent. So first hint. This one's going to be a little bit radio related hint. This is an adjective, so you could use this word to describe many radio hosts, whether it be your Skrull Radio hosts or any of the wonderful hosts on Radio DePaul.
Awesome. Okay. Nice. I'm excited. So we're going to be revealing the word of the day at the end of the show. And if you would like to guess, text your guess into 773-325-7341. So like Ryan said, we're going to be talking to Avery Cunningham and James Neeson, who was in the first part of the show. We're welcoming Avery from the outreach team. Could you give us a little bit of background on yourself as a writer and your role at the Writing Center, Avery?
Yeah, sure, of course. So I've been with the Writing Center for about 2.5 years. First as an undergrad, I got my degree here in English. Now I am a GA with the Masters in Writing Publishing Program. So what my role is right now with outreach is helping to facilitate like outreach events, like Banned Books Week, like National Week on Writing, like the Tutor Mentor Summit. So kind of really getting the word out to the DePaul community about what the Writing Center does and also how we participate with other more national writing events.
Gotcha. And just a refresher for our listeners, what is Banned Books Week, Avery?
Banned Books Week is a week, it's a national celebration, kind of highlighting books that have been banned locally here in America, in libraries and schools at state levels, and also talking about the fact that books are still being banned, mm-hmm. that there is actually a book, Sherman Alexie's The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, was the number one banned book of 2014, and that book was only published a few years ago. So really talking about how banned books is still an issue, mm-hmm. but also celebrating some of the really great works of American literature mm-hmm. that have been banned.
So we were able to hear a little bit from Andrew Ray, a librarian here at DePaul, and he gave us a bit of a perspective, that library perspective, like, you know, the challenges you actually see, what types of things, you know, can put a book on that kind of that frame where it might get a challenged and banned at school libraries and public libraries. So now bringing this back to the DePaul community and what Banned Books Week looks like here on our campus.
Yeah.
I know that you guys have been able to kind of host some events this week. James, if you want to talk about some of the things that have happened already this week.
Yeah, sure. So we've actually, I think since 2010, we've celebrated Banned Books Week at DePaul with the UCWBL. And this year we've had two events so far this week. And then we have one later today, actually, that all our listeners should come to.
Yes.
The first two that we had on Monday and then Wednesday, we had a readout where people could come and read from frequently challenged works that the library was kind enough to bring. You could also check those works out afterwards if you wanted to be particularly subversive. And then the library actually also has a display up now until the winter quarter of frequently challenged works as well that you can check out. And then we did so much stuff it's hard to even remember it all. And we had a raffle for the Sherman Alexie book that Avery was just mentioning. And then the big one is that at the library, at the Richardson Library today from 2 to 3 o'clock, the City Lit Theater Group is performing selections from the top 10 list of the most challenged works. And there will also be like refreshments and everything that people should stop by and check out.
Yes, please.
But yeah, so Avery, how did you like the readouts that we went to?
I really enjoyed them. I mostly because I think it gave students and faculty and staff a real new look at what banned books mm-hmm. actually involve. Usually people may think that a banned book is something like a Salinger book or a Steinbeck mm-hmm. book that's really upfront and very judgmental of certain aspects of society and culture. But there are also books that may technically be considered pretty tame. Like I know Madeline Lingell's A Wrinkle in Time mm-hmm. was banned, which is a very just enjoyable, light, like childhood read.
It's not the Tropic of Cancer or something.
No, yeah, it's certainly not. But it can also be banned for things like being anti-Christian or vulgarity or black magic or things like that. So it's really interesting just to see why books are banned. And I think I certainly have enjoyed that, but I think other people as well, knowing the fact that maybe their favorite novel has been considered like very dangerous and socially corrupt in some circles.
I think the most people walked by and mentioned that they were surprised that The Giver was on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, list. Definitely.
It seemed to be a lot of people like sort of stopped and was like, really, that one?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
That was my main take. Well, one of my main takeaways from our first segment was that banning books is entirely subjective and mm-hmm. comes from the person, the educator who has certain beliefs
right.
And can ban a book for that reason.
And sometimes it's very arbitrary too, mm-hmm. For very nitpicky reasons or very, very kind of conservative reasons. And even the process is arbitrary where, mm-hmm. you know, people will raise these challenges to public libraries and school libraries and they won't work most times or, mm-hmm. and then even if they do result in bans, it's, you know, for a very small period of time or, you know, he's talked about the censored versions of books, mm-hmm. Being presented instead.
I would agree with that. I think, thinking of like, mostly, a conservative mindset as being responsible though, is a little bit difficult because then, it's easy to think that it's only people who are like not us in a way. And then if you look like Chicago, you know, Persepolis was challenged here, like just 2 or 3 years ago. So mm-hmm. it's not just like other parts of the country or other people. Like it's everywhere, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Avery, what do you have a personal favorite book on either the list or something that was read out this week during your outreach events?
Right. Well, I certainly love Sherman Alexie's novel, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Okay.
I read that a few years ago, and I can understand why it was banned. He's very upfront. Sherman Alexie is a very kind of, I'm going to tell you what I think, and you're going to sit and enjoy it type of writer. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why it was banned, but that certainly was one of my favorite books on the list. But also, like I mentioned earlier, A Wrinkle in Time is one of my favorites that was on there. Beloved by Toni Morrison, The Color Purple, Call of the Wild, which I thought was very interesting why that would be a banned book. But yeah, certainly so many of my favorites. It's really when you're an English major, you find out that pretty much all of the books that you like have been banned that sometime, right?
What have you done any readouts during these events at all? And what was the turnout like at these events?
Pretty well. I was only able to go to the one in the Loop. And even though we weren't really able to do a lot of reading out loud because of the space we were in, a lot of people were stopping by. Mm-hmm. And we actually, the library was able to check out quite a few books that people really were interested in reading once they found out that they were banned. So we were able to just give out a lot of information. We had a really cool button maker where people were able to make buttons with the covers of different banned books, which was very popular. I think I got like 5. So the turnout was definitely amazing. And even though we weren't able to do as many like read out louds, I think it still really impacted the community in that moment.
Yeah.
I have a question, kind of more of a general question that I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on. As far as kind of what gets books banned and that whole idea which we've touched on so far. And you brought up the really good point of, you know, the newly published books are still getting banned. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, my question is, and I think Andrew kind of shared some statistics about it, banned book challenges have been going down within, you know, the past couple of decades. But, you know, are we ever going to get to the point where books aren't challenged anymore? Or are we living in a world that is kind of so caught up on this idea of political correctness that there's always going to be challenges to people going against that?
Well, yeah, I think definitely there's always going to be something that somebody writes that's going to go against some type of public mindset. Like, I know a lot of schools are talking about banning Gone with the Wind now. I know Columbia students once made kind of a big thing about banning Greek mythology because they thought it was offensive. So I think there's always going to be a time, especially with writing and fiction, and that's always going to kind of irritate somebody in some sense. Mm-hmm. So it's always a chance for it to be banned.
I'd say trigger warnings would be maybe the new way of approaching that debate, where people are saying, like, I have a problem with it, particularly from a past experience. Mm-hmm. And what do you do with that? Like,
right.
I personally don't have any, you know, sort of idea.
I think moving forward, we're becoming even more sensitive in terms of cross-culture communication and stuff like that, with cultural relativism, where it was supposed to be a thing where you understand another person's culture and where they come from. It's more so turning into this idea of being hypersensitive about talking about other cultures.
Mm-hmm. Defensive of your own culture.
I think that could be, an effect of that as well.
Yeah, I think to that whole idea, maybe, you know, the idea that we're still having banned books, we're still having challenges, but maybe is it for different reasons than it used to be?
Yeah, definitely. It's more of like a not wanting to offend a certain culture. Mm-hmm. And in that objective, like removing the historical relevance at the same time.
James used the phrase "protect the children" earlier today.
Protect the children from the horrible things we've done.
But is it protect the children from the vulgarity and the language and the sex and the drugs, or is it protect the children from learning things that you don't want them to hear about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And then also, just thinking back to my own childhood, if you told me that a certain book was off limits or that I wasn't allowed to read it, that was pretty much the one way to guarantee that that's the book that I wanted to read then.
You know?
I think while there are always going to be challenges, I think also that sort of is a strange way to try to get people to not read something, because it then highlights the importance of it in some way and makes me personally more likely to be curious about, like, what's happening in it. So I think you can both, you know, it sort of increases the visibility of the thing it's trying to hide at the same time, which makes it perhaps a paradoxical strategy.
Awesome.
Right.
Before we run out of time, I want to give you guys a chance to plug the event that you are hosting later today and maybe give listeners a chance to participate. Avery?
Right. So that's happening today at 2:00, and there's going to be a theater troupe coming in, and they're going to be performing scenes from the top 10 banned books of the year. So it'd be a really cool way to kind of know more about what these banned books are and also get to see them acted out live.
See what they look like.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. I'll be interested to see how they approach doing so many different characters in, you know, the space of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
We'll have treats there also. So, like,
treats.
Food.
Yes.
Food is always
free
good, too.
Treats.
It's in room 115 in the Richardson Library on the LPC campus.
Right.
So we'll be headed into our second break. We'll be bringing back the segment Rhetoric of Pop. So with this break, we'll be gonna give you a chance to listen to Justin Bieber's What Do You Mean, which is currently sitting at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Like we did last week, we're going to be taking the song and giving it a little bit of a rhetorical analysis. But before we head to the break, I want to give you guys the last clue for word of the day.
Okay.
So you guys can sit on that and simmer, let it simmer in your mind and really try to get an idea of what our word of the day, largiloquent.
Largiloquent.
What does it mean?
So if I can recall really fast, our first clue was that a host on a radio, it's an adjective, of which a host on a radio can possess.
Yes, you could use it to describe a host on the radio show.
Great.
Or really anyone that we have in this studio right now. But again, bringing it back to the Writing Center, we oftentimes get writers in who are largiloquent.
Okay.
And I will say also this leads to an interesting appointment.
All right. Cool. Well, I am looking forward to hearing the definition of that word, which we will be revealing when we come back. This is Justin Bieber's What Do You Mean on Skrull Radio, Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
What do you mean? What I'm saying, trying to catch the beat, make up your heart. Don't know if you're happy or complaining. Don't want for us to win, where do I start? First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. Wanna argue all day, making love all night. First you're up, then you're down, and in between. Oh, I really wanna know, what do you mean? Said you're running out of time, what do you mean? Oh, 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 what do you mean? Better make up your mind, what do you mean? Y'all for protective when I'm leaving. Trying to compromise, but I can't win. You wanna make a point, but you keep preaching. You had me from the start, won't let this end. First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. What do you mean? Oh, when you nod your head yes, but you wanna say no. What do you mean? Hey, yeah. When you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go. What do you mean?
I wanna know.
Oh, what do you mean?
Ooh.
Said you're running out of time. What do you mean? Make up your mind, what do you mean?